Good morning again. How's everybody? I had this really ridiculous thought when Kelby was saying hello to everybody. And where I come from is a little small town in West Tennessee called Savannah, Tennessee. And they don't say, how are you doing today? They say, how you doing? And how your mama doing? So how are y'all doing? How's your mama doing? My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. I wanted to let you guys know something before we continue our series of messages in the book of Habakkuk. This Sunday at 4 p.m., that's today, Sunday, 4 p.m. this afternoon, we're going to be having a Vision 2020 meeting. We've only got two more of these lined up for this month. And essentially, Pastor Lance and myself want to give you an opportunity to hear about what God is planning in the year 2020 here at Bethel Community Church. And we want to do it in a smaller group, so that's why we're doing these Vision 2020 meetings. So if you have some time this afternoon, 4 p.m., or next Sunday, 4 p.m., we would love it if all of you could attend either this meeting or the next meeting if you haven't been to one already. And all you have to do is sign up in the lobby right after the service. We have a place for you to sign up. Also, because we began a new series last week on the book of Habakkuk, one of these is in the seat back in front of you. We'd love it if you could take one of these. And if you have not joined a community group, this is where you have the opportunity to not only hear what we talk about on Sunday morning, but to continue that conversation in one of our community groups. They meet throughout the week. They meet in different places. And we would love it if you could set some time aside to go deeper in what we talk about today. So if you've got a Bible, one of the hardest books to find in the entire Bible is the book of Habakkuk. Now, if you don't know where that is, hopefully you've got a cell phone. It can get there a little bit quicker. But I'd love for you to open up your Bible, whether your book Bible or your phone app Bible. Basically, you want to look for Jonah and then Micah and then Nahum. And then lo and behold, there is the book of Habakkuk. And we are going to be in Habakkuk chapter 2. And this is fastly becoming one of my favorite books in the Bible because we're studying this book in its entirety. There's only three chapters, and there's not a lot to know about this guy. This is the only place where we find Habakkuk by name. But we're going to take a look at not only what the Word of God says, but also the surrounding events that take place in the book of Habakkuk today. So we're going to start off and just read the first four verses, then we're going to dive a little deeper into it. So we're going to start off Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he, the Lord, will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. And then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Father, help us today, God, as we dive into your word. Open it. Let it come alive today, Father. And as we discuss this book, God, I pray that faith would also come alive and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Faith is not a one-time act, but it is a lifestyle that us as believers need to have. But the hard part about having faith is how do you live by faith in a world filled with so much uncertainty? We're going to discuss that today. Before we get into that, we had probably one of the best testimonies you can hear about hard times last week. If you have not listened to last week, if you weren't here last week, go back into our website, bethelcommunity.church, and listen along with it. But we're going to kind of bring you up to speed about the book of Habakkuk. Again, this is an extremely short but powerful book. One of the best ways to understand this book is not just by reading it, but understand the times that went along with the book of Habakkuk. There's certain things that we need to know about it to help us to understand exactly why these events are taking place. So this book takes place in a very weird time in the world. This guy named Habakkuk, he was from Israel. He was a Hebrew. And one of the greatest enemies of the Hebrew people were the Assyrians. They were the terrorists of the day. They were so deadly. They were the arch nemesis of the Israelis. But something geopolitically was happening that changed the landscape of the world. There was this new growing world power called the Babylonians. Anybody ever heard of the Babylonians? Say amen. The Babylonians were gobbling up empires and nations, and they had just taken over the Assyrian Empire. They were fastly known as the world power at that time. And now the nation of Israel was in their crosshairs. And actually, this book takes place only a few years before what's known as the Babylonian captivity phase. Essentially, within a few years, the entire nation of Israel was going to be captive. God's people were going to be taken off to Babylon. And God's beloved city, Jerusalem, was going to be left in ruins. And this is right on the eve of that when we start to see what happens in the book of Habakkuk. And maybe you remember, this is where Habakkuk started to cry out, God, why is there violence everywhere? Why is there so much turmoil going on everywhere? And then as you might know, and sometimes it happens in our life, sometimes a bad situation actually gets worse, doesn't it? Sometimes we cry out to God and we want God to just make it all go away. Make the pain stop. Make the situation stop. And sometimes God allows things to get a little bit worse. And God's response in chapter 1 was, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. And they're going to come. And they are fierce and nasty people. You know, this is a very difficult book to read sometimes because it makes us ask one of the most basic biblical questions ever. Why does God allow bad to happen? Anybody ever asked that before? It's a question that our world is asking. It's a question that our world can't answer. And sometimes, even as a people of God, we go through so much stuff, it's hard to answer that, even though we might be a people of faith. And sometimes we think that maybe God can't see what we're going through. Sometimes we begin to ask even more difficult questions and things. Maybe does God even care? Maybe God doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't care. Or the last thing sometimes we ask, maybe, which is the hardest thing, maybe God actually has a plan that we don't understand. In our men's group yesterday, we talked about a very difficult concept. It may not be a concept. It's definitely biblical, but it's the idea that God plays the long game. God plays the long game, meaning that he's not necessarily into things being over just like that. We said yesterday that we serve a crockpot God. Anybody love food on the crockpot? Some of you got it probably on right now. See, the thing about a crockpot is you can't just roll up on the crockpot at noon. No, not unless you got it real early. If you roll up on the crockpot, the dinner crockpot at noon, you're going to make an angry cook. You got to last all day where all those flavors can harmonize. Somebody say amen. Amen. And sometimes our God is like a crockpot God. See, sometimes we want things to be over so quick. We think we serve a microwave God. But sometimes he will allow things to last a long time. Sometimes God will allow us to endure things for years. And in a long game for God, sometimes he will allow things to go for 10 years, 20 years. Think about the everlasting God that we serve. Sometimes he has allowed things to go on for 500 years, 1,000 years. See, sometimes it's hard for us to believe in that kind of God because we only got, 80, 90 maybe, if we're blessed, 100 maybe. And some of us a lot less than that. And so we want to believe in a God that can accomplish everything we desire in our lifetime. But how many of you know that is not true? You know, my mom used to pray for money all the time. Lord, bring it in. Let it come from the north, south, east, and west. I receive it, Jesus. And you know what? She saw a little bit, but I have seen more of that blessing. And sometimes God will pay things forward to another generation sometimes. And sometimes we may not see it. Somebody say amen. So the big question is, why would God allow this awful and nasty people to come and to harm his people? And this is where we have to know not just what the Bible says, but what the Bible says elsewhere about the same time. Why would God allow this? This is a big thing. Now, there's a couple things about this book that we don't necessarily see. We don't see anything really about the king. See, the king during the time of Habakkuk was a king named Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. See, his daddy's name was Josiah, King Josiah. And some of you might know this, but King Josiah was the boy king. He became king when he was 8 years old. And he lived for a long time, and the nation of Israel was blessed. They found the scrolls that had God's word in it, and they brought everybody together, and they read God's word out loud. Everybody repented. Everybody started serving God. It was a good time to be in Israel. But lo and behold, he died. And then his son, Jehoiakim, became king. And it's very important how the head operates. And if you know anything about the history of Israel, usually if you read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you'll see a lot of it. But basically, there's usually a good king and then there was a bad king. There was a king who loved the Lord and there was a king who cursed the Lord. There was a king who blessed the Lord and a king who did his own thing. And Jehoiakim did his own thing. He basically took the temple of God and ripped down the idols and put up idols inside of God's holy house. He caused God's people to not worship the Lord anymore. How do you think that made God feel? See, God is a God who is just. And he doesn't care if it's his people or somebody else's people. But when sin happens, it must be judged. So when you look at this book and you might be wondering, why on earth would God do this to his people? Well, big thought in this is God's people were not innocent. God's people had replaced God with idols, dead idols. We'll find out later on in this chapter. And sometimes God is up to things that we don't understand. We remember back in Habakkuk. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. He said, look among the nations and watch. I feel like this is going to be for some of you today. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told. Basically, God does things that are so big and so high above our plane of thinking that we wouldn't understand it even if he told us what was going on. Somebody say amen. We have to look at this just for a second. What's going to help us out today is what's found out in really the verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 1. It says, the just shall live by faith. If you've got a Bible, I want you to underline this. This is probably one of the most profound, small little chunks of the Bible for several different reasons. The just shall live by faith. Everybody say that together. Now, it was because of this particular verse, the Apostle Paul took it and repeated it three more times. Or we find it three more times in the New Testament. This is where we get our justification by faith from. We see it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. We see it again in the book of Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous or the just shall live by faith. We see it another time in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one or the just one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You know, as we read through this, some of us may be asking the question, as we see this over and over and over as a major theological theme in the Bible, how do I know that I'm just? How do I know if I'm a just person? I've done a lot of non-just things. Another way of saying it is, how do I know if I'm righteous? What this theological point is saying that I am justified in the eyes of God because of my faith in what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross. The word justification is where we get this passage of scripture from. And basically it says, just as if I have never sinned when I put my faith in Christ. And this is important. If you want to live in times of uncertainty, when you don't know what God is doing, because to be honest, I would say every hand, nobody knows what God is doing. You can live for 50 years and serve the Lord. You don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. It's like my kids have no idea what I have planned for them for Christmas. They know me for a lot of years. They have no clue. We have no idea what God has for you. Matter of fact, the Bible even says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. If we're going to walk the walk of faith, if we're going to believe that God is for us, even when it looks like the world is against us, it's going to take faith. Can somebody say amen? So how do we do that? How do we live by faith? I'm going to give you one big point. Start with what you know about God. Start with what you know about God to understand what you don't know about God. Let me say that again. Start with what you know about him. That will help you to understand what you don't know about him. When we look at the book of Habakkuk, this is exactly what Habakkuk did. All around him was going south. Things were bad, and they were actually going to get a whole lot worse in a few short years. But this is a man of God. He was pretty much all alone. The king had failed in his job. You see no mention of the high priest. All you see is the prophet. And the thing about biblical prophets, they don't know everything. All they know is what God tells them. So imagine how discouraging it could be to realize that everything is going south and you're basically the only one hearing from God. Start with what you know. We see this in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 and 14. He starts to remind himself of what God has done in the past. And as he does that in chapter 1, he reminds himself, number one, God is eternal. He plays a long game. He's been around a long time, and he's not going anywhere soon. He also reminds himself that God is self-existent. He doesn't need political powers in the world to do anything for him. The next thing, God is holy. That means there's nothing missing in him. Also, God is just. This is something we have to realize and believe, that our God is for us. He is a good God. Somebody say, God is good all the time. Okay, y'all remember that, right? All the time. Hey, got you. Oh, shook some of you. See, it's important for us not just to memorize little quick sayings, but it's the meaning behind it. If we believe that God is just, that means that he's good in everything that he does, whether we agree with it or not. Somebody say amen. That means when I look at the things in my life and I realize it may not have happened the way I wanted to, I have to realize that no matter what the situation is, that God is still good. See, it's an important thing like that to realize. I can look back over my life and remember, how did God do certain things? He never left me. He was always there. He always reminded me that he loved me. As long as I can remember certain things about God, it will help me understand the things that I don't understand about God. And the last thing that the prophet Habakkuk reminded himself of was that God was all-powerful. See, in this world, it's easy to think, wow, there's a lot of things that are more powerful than we think. We think, wow, Russia's powerful, China's powerful, the government's powerful, the place where I work is so powerful, they'll never change. We put so much stock into this world system, we act as if it is more powerful than our God. But we must remember that our God is supreme. our God is all powerful. That means that nothing happens unless he allows it. Which leads to some very, very difficult questions, doesn't it? Why would God allow this to happen? So there's a couple of things I believe why God allows things to happen. We see it in the book of Habakkuk. The first reason why God allows this judgment to take place, God was trying the faith and the patience of his people to see if they would remain faithful. And he would distinguish between those who were sincere in faith and those who were not. And the second thing is he would deal with the godless as well. Sometimes God allows things to happen. Now, this is a big brain twister right here, is that our God will punish us with methods that we don't like. This is what he did in Habakkuk. He punished his people with their mortal enemy, and then he punished their enemy for what they did to his people. Isn't that wild? He will punish his people for what they have done, and then he punishes the enemy who did it, that he allowed it, for what they just did. It makes our God have a weird way of doing things, doesn't he? But our God is so big and so just, he will not allow sin to go unpunished. Now think about that in our own life. We said that all of this basically happened because of the sin of the people of Israel. There was a king who went rogue, and God cares a lot about how things are run. If you're the head of the house, consequences are severe when you don't run it right. Somebody say amen. A company has severe consequences when it's not run right. A country has severe consequences when it's not run right. And when we don't focus on our Lord, things go astray very quick. Somebody say amen to that. You know, the good news out of all this is some hard stuff. This is kind of big boy church stuff to say that our God will allow bad things to happen and it may not get better. Because we teach people, pray and see what God will do. Trust in the Lord. Maybe it won't get better. Maybe the thing that you've been praying for years won't change. The Apostle Paul said, there's this thorn in my side and I've asked God again and again and again to take it away. But he didn't. Sometimes there's an affliction. Sometimes there's a disease. And we pray and we pray and we pray. And it's not just about taking it away, but God wants to get to the heart of people, and he would love to get your heart more than he would to take away your disease, or he would love to get to your heart more than he would changing your situation or making everything better for you. And the thing about it is, God's not just in the business of trying to make you happy. And a lot of people in marriage say, why do we get married then? Like, as a pastor, you hear weird things. Like before I marry somebody, I'll say, why do you want to get married? Well, she makes me happy. I'm like, dear Jesus, help them. Because the next question, what are you going to do when you're not happy? And that's what people say. I'm not happy anymore. Right? But maybe it's not about being happy. Maybe God has a long game with you. And it's not about making you happy, but it's about making you holy. Oh, Pastor, it hurts. I want to feel good. And it's not that God doesn't want to make you happy. It's as you live holy, you become happy. I tell you what, I've had more joy serving Jesus than I ever did doing everything else I wanted to do before him. Somebody say amen. You know, and the good news out of all of this is one of the hardest verses in the Bible to me. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I just want you guys to see this. It's my last verse. I'm about to close. And one of the things you guys may not know about me and my wife, I have a beautiful, beautiful wife. Amen. Men, I'm glad you didn't say that. I have to knock you out. But there was a time before we got married where she broke up with me. She dumped me twice. Why is that funny?
Like, you got dumped, Pastor. Ha ha.
That is not funny.
Wasn't funny at the time.
And she broke up with me. And the thing about it is, you know, I at the time I consider myself a man of faith. I try to, you know, pray to God all the time and try to hear God. And so, like there are certain things that I've heard so clear from God. So clear. And one of the things was, she's going to be your wife. And after the first time she dumped me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to believe. Right? And we got back together. Okay, God, you still God. But the second time was longer and nastier. And I remember leaving her apartment. I'm already in. I might as well just tell y'all everything. It was her birthday. And I threw her gift at her. I didn't hit her, but I just threw it at her, right? And I left. I got in the car. And I remember looking up. God, he's everywhere, but I was looking up. I said, what's your plan now? So I was angry. I was so mad. I was like, I thought I knew your plan, so what's your plan now, God? It's, you know, one of those moments where you start to question everything. And I heard this in my soul. Romans 8:28. If one of you had told me that, I would have hit you in the face. I didn't want to hear it. We know that all things work together for the good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, what that meant, unbeknownst to me, that meant whether it worked out the way I desired or not, it meant that God had a plan. That it was going to work out the way he wanted it to. And somehow, in the midst of it all, even though as heart-wrenching as that was, he was going to work it out for my good. That didn't make sense. It did not compute. But what we have to do is remember, has he ever failed me yet, as the song says? Has he ever failed me yet? Has he ever left me? Has he ever turned his back on me? Has he ever failed anybody in the Bible? Has he ever failed anybody in this room? And as I had to draw back and remember, he hadn't failed me. He's always loved me. And maybe I just don't understand. I just have to plead ignorance sometime. I don't like to be ignorant. But there are some things I just don't know. And when I don't know, I have to trust. I have to trust. See, my kids don't know everything that I know. And I might tell them something. Sometimes we say, you're just going to have to trust Daddy. You're just going to have to trust me. Sometimes that's probably what God is saying to you. You just got to trust him. One of the hardest things to do as a human. It's because we've been hurt. It's because we've tried trusting before. And it may have failed us with a human. Try trusting God. Realizing he's got a long game. It's not over yet. Maybe that thing that didn't end up being the way you wanted to, somehow, I don't know how to explain it. Somehow it might be for your good. You know, I remember my mom died in 2010, and I had a phone call from my brother to say something happened to Mama. You need to get over here. Drove over to the apartment complex where she was. Paramedics were still there. Went upstairs, and paramedics were talking to my brother. I said, "Where's Mama?" I said, "Mama's in the room. She had already died." I'm a man of faith. I was a pastor. So you got to think, God's going to listen to me. I go in the room and I get down on my knees. I grab my mama's arm and her hand. It's already cold. And I start looking up again. And I start to talk to God. I say, God, if it's not her time, bring her back. Let her come back, God. It's my mom, 59 years old. She didn't come back. See, sometimes we don't have all the answers. Sometimes we may not get all the answers. And then in those moments, we have to remember what we know about God to be true, to understand what we don't know. Does that make sense? Say yes. I just want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for this short, simple little word of God. Father, we pray that you would help us in these times where we don't understand.